It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Well, Charlie, I can report that our no-dig garden bed, it's a jungle out there. But I'm hoping that that skunk couple that we ran into a few evenings ago and that adorable rabbit family that lives under our garage don't love vegetables. How might we lessen the chance of rabbits and woodchucks and deer getting into our growing gardens?
Yeah, this is a big subject, but I want to try to tackle a little bit of it at least here. We talked about small animals last week, and so now we're talking about some of the bigger ones. So the first thing you have to understand a little bit is what they like to eat. So rabbits and woodchucks love things like your lettuces and your beans and your peas, you know, the new growth on plants. That's really what they love to eat and munch on. They're not going to go after hairy leaf things so much like your tomatoes or prickly leafed types of plants that you might have. Deer, on the other hand, will eat pretty much anything if they're hungry enough. But they will avoid certain plants if given a choice. So they stay away from succulents, like sedums, for example, that have those really succulent kind of leaves. Or euphorbias that have kind of that milky sap in them. Or the butterfly weeds, another one like that. And they'll stay away from herbs a lot of times, mints and oregano and thyme, because they just have a very pungent smell. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Of course, as far as protecting them, the first line of defense would be a barrier. And that would be a fence. So you want to get a metal fence for rabbits and for woodchucks with small holes in them. Don't get a metal fence with some big holes where the rabbits can squeeze their little bodies in there. We've done that at our garden. So you want small holes. You want it to stand about 3 feet tall. And then the bottom of the fence, you want to curve at a 90-degree angle so it forms an apron away from the garden. And then you can throw some mulch or something on top of that. But the idea is that when the woodchuck and the rabbit comes up to that fence, their natural inclination is to dig down. If they hit the apron, they get very disappointed and they turn around and go somewhere else. For deer, you're going to need a big fence, a 6 or 7 feet tall fence. And you might even put some streamers or something on top of it because they can really jump. If you had two lower fences side by side, 5 feet apart, that might help. Or an electric fence might help. And of course, the final thing would be repellent sprays. And the key with repellents is get 2 or 3 different types made from different materials and rotate them so they don't get used to them. We use plant skid and Bobex and liquid fence. They have putrescent eggs and blood meal and garlic in them. Those are smells that they're not going to like. And if you stay with that every week or two, spraying those on plants, you'll be able to keep the deer away.
Okay, time for some questions. This one is from Patsy in Essex Junction. And Patsy writes, Charlie, how do we deal with tomato hornworms? We had a terrible time with them last year, and we want to try to head them off early this year.
Yes, so you got to be on the lookout for them because they're coming soon, if not already. And what you look for is on the top of your tomato plants, it may look like deer actually were browsing on them. A lot of the foliage has been chewed off. Take a closer look. Look for dark brown or dark green frass or droppings in the leaves, and then look straight up from where those droppings are, and you'll probably see these big fat tomato hornworms. You can hand pick them, drop them in soap, feed them to the chickens, fling them. That's what I usually do, is fling them in the field. And that, if you're diligent about it, you'll be able to keep on top of it so they won't cause too much damage. If you have an old black light hanging around from your younger days, perhaps, you can go out at night with a black light and hang and hold that underneath the tomato plant, look back up, and you'll see that the tomato hornworms will glow. Ooh, pretty spooky. And if you have really a lot of them, you can't spray BT, Bacillus thuringiensis, but you have to be careful because that will kill all caterpillars, including monarch butterflies, swallowtail butterflies, sulfur butterflies. So you have to be very careful about how you apply it.
My youngest kiddo found a tomato hornworm years ago and turned it into a pet. It was so big they could like even put a leash on it. This thing was huge.
Yes, they are. And then they go through their whole cycle and turn into butterflies.
Yeah, it was pretty fascinating. Yeah, it was a nice thing to do with the young person who's interested in science and nature. This next question is from Judy in Clifton Park, New York. And Judy writes, my rhododendrons have finished flowering. They were so beautiful this year, and now I'm wondering how to prune them and when.
Well, Judy, I think we're getting to your question a little on the late side, because the time to prune rhododendrons or any of those spring flowering shrubs would be right after they're done flowering. And you have about a 4 to 6 week window, so we're kind of a little bit beyond that window here in July as far as when you should be pruning them. So I would check the rhododendron that you have there and see if you see any of those fat buds that are forming right at the tip of the branches. If they're already formed there, then it's a little late to be pruning them. If, however, you're pruning them to rejuvenate a shrub that's overgrown, you certainly can do that now, and you can prune rhododendrons into the old wood, and they will re-leaf out from that old wood and eventually turn into a nice, small, bushy shrub again.
Okay, if you've got questions about your garden, you can send them to us at vpr.org and search for All Things Gardening. Thanks so much, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.